over the holiday season this year as we gather for worship tonight, and when we gather for worship on those Sundays surrounding the Christmas and New Year's holidays, we're going to step away a little bit from our studies in 1 Corinthians and focus on the topic of names. In our culture, a name doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. It's a label. It's a means of identification. But in the ancient world, a name meant so much more. It was reflective of the character of the one who bore the name. And we can think of that applying to God himself. The name Yahweh reflects his eternal character. I am who I am. Well, tonight on this Thanksgiving Eve, we're going to take some time to meditate. Not what AI decided to change in the email I sent. We're not going to mediate, but we'll meditate on our mediator, on the Lord Jesus Christ. I hate it when the computer, which knows it's smarter than I am, but goes ahead and changes what I have. So anyway, we're going to meditate on a prophecy that comes from Isaiah. And given that we're talking about names, it's important to understand what Isaiah's name means. It means Yahweh is salvation. And what an appropriate name that is for a prophet who speaks concerning the coming salvation of our God. Yahweh's salvation for his covenant people. And that's the context that surrounds this one verse that we're going to be considering tonight. The nation of Israel was in the process of being held captive. They were slaves in Babylon. The people were discouraged, they were weak, and their faith was wavering. But Isaiah speaks to them of a day which is yet to come, a day of their national salvation, a day that would bring about their release from their captivity as their captors would themselves be judged and overthrown, a day when the Jews could return to their homeland, and a day when they would be free to worship, free to rebuild, that they might worship in the temple of the Holy God. But he has a message to share with them as they wait. As they continue in their bondage, he brings them a message of hope, a message of thanksgiving, even a message calling for evangelism and discipleship. But as we prepare to hear the word from the God of our salvation, let's first seek his face in prayer. Father God, as we come to your word now, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would move in the hearts of your people, that we would be a people who give you thanks, who call upon your name, who make you known amongst the people, and proclaim that you are indeed exalted. Lord, speak now through your vessel, for we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hear now the message of the great I Am to his people. Hear the inspired word given to Yahweh is salvation. This evening I put before you Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. And as this very same prophet would write later, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This text that's before us this evening, like many parts of the book of Isaiah, is actually part of a song rejoicing in the salvation of our God, which the prophet proclaimed to the people of God was soon to come. Their chains would be broken. Their captives would be overturned. They would return to the land that was given to them by the Lord. But this song of Isaiah is at least the full song. The song actually begins in the middle of chapter 11 and goes through chapter 13. This song as a whole reminds me of a song from 1998 by Michael W. Smith, which was entitled Missing Person. Another question in me, one for the powers that be. It's got me thrown in, so I put on my poker face and try to figure it out. This undeniable doubt, a common occurrence, feeling so out of place. Guarded and cynical now, can't help but wondering how my heart evolved into a rock beating inside of me. So I feel this stoic ordeal. Where's that feeling that I don't feel? There was a boy who had the faith to move a mountain. And like a child, he would believe without a reason. Without a trace, he disappeared into the void, and I've been searching for that missing person. Under a lavender moon, so many thoughts consume me. Who dimmed that glowing light that once burned so bright in me? Is this a radical phase, a problematical age that keeps me running from all that I used to be? Is there a way to return? Is there a way to unlearn that carnal knowledge that's chipping away at my soul? I've been gone too long. Will I ever find my way home? There was a boy who had the faith to move a mountain, and like a child, he would believe without a reason. Without a trace, he disappeared into the void, and I've been searching for that missing person. He used to want to walk try to walk the straight and narrow. He had a fire and he could feel it in the marrow. It's been a long time and I haven't seen him lately, but I've been searching for that missing person. Michael W. Smith sings about an experience that is sadly all too common among Christians. When we were converted, we had this fire for Christ, this zeal to live a life of thanksgiving, to live a life of praise. But as we go on in our lives, more and more each day and year by year, that person seems to go missing. But the prophet here reminds us that such a person should never disappear into the void. They should never go missing, for thanksgiving must never be missing in the life of the child of God. And so here in this verse before us this evening, in this inspired song given to the prophet by the Lord is placing before us four imperatives, four commands. Two which speak to the internal life of the believer or the church, and two which speaks to our outward evangelism as that which we do inwardly is proclaimed to the world around us. So this evening, let's look briefly at these four commands that the Lord gives to his people such that we might not go missing in action, that we might not be missing persons gone without a trace. And it begins with the fact that we are to give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to Yahweh. That's what literally the Hebrew text says. Give thanks, that is, to the God of our salvation. Yeah, it's a simple phrase, but let's break it down just a little bit. Beginning with the word give, that's a simple word. We give all the time. There's constantly people after us to give, and we gave this evening. Give means to transfer possession of something to someone else, to hand over to someone, to provide or to supply another person with something. So we give something, hand over something to someone else, but it's something that, well, normally we might want to just claim as our own. Something that we might want to hold on to for ourselves. And so the Lord gives us this command to give. Secondly, he tells us what we're to give, and that's thanks. And many times we will just thank people. I had a little girl, she couldn't have been more than two, hold a door for me when I went in the store this morning. And so I thanked her. And she said, "You're welcome." I'm not, you know, she understood. But, you know, when you think about it, people oftentimes, they kind of want to withhold thanks from others. Why is that? Because we want to hold on to the credit for things ourselves. We live in a me-first society, don't we? I can do all things. I'm the Lord and the master of my own destiny. I make my own breaks. It's all about me, myself, and I. But giving thanks means that we have to be humble. We have to do something that's really hard, especially for the men among us. Giving thanks means we have to admit that we have needs. And more than that, it means that we need other people to fill those needs for us. That only others can meet some of those needs that we have is very humbling. Thirdly, we see the to whom and the for what of the giving thanks that we are to give, both contained within the same statement. We give thanks to the Lord. The Lord meaning the God of our salvation. So we hand over, we supply the Lord God, not with something that he doesn't have, but we give to him thanks for something that we could have never held on to, something we never could have accomplished on our own, that being our salvation. Our salvation, as we know, is from beginning to end a work of God. So the only proper response to the experience of salvation is to give thanks to the Lord God who has graciously provided it for us. Now, one other thing that's really important for us to see in each one of these four imperatives is that in each and every case, focus here for a second on this first one, give thanks to the Lord, it is given to us as a command in the present tense. There is a continual sense to it. There is never to be a time when our thanks to the God of our salvation goes missing. There's never to be a time when our thanks for our salvation itself goes missing. Give thanks presently. Give thanks continually to the God who has, by his grace alone, provided you with an undeserved and an unearned salvation. Give thanks to the Lord. But then secondly, we are commanded to call upon his name. Now, to call upon someone's name, and particularly here, to call upon the name of the Lord, is to invoke God by using his name. J. Alec Mateer says that God has made himself known by a name. That is, he has revealed himself and summed up the revelation of himself in a significant name. Those to whom the revelation has been made can now use that name to enter into worshiping intimacy with the God who has revealed himself to them. In other words, God has revealed his name to us. We therefore must call upon him and only call upon him by name. There are none other that we are ever to call upon. We are to have no other gods before him, for he alone is God. He alone is the God of our salvation. He's the God who calls us to call upon him. No, wait a minute. He commands that we call upon him, that we continually, that we presently call upon him. So call upon the Lord when you're in those difficult times, when the pain is difficult, when you're not sure where the funds are going to come from, when you're not sure of this or for that, call upon the name of the Lord. When things are going well, when you seem to be on the top of the mountain, call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon his name tonight. Call upon his name tomorrow, and never let such calling upon him go missing in your life. You know, there is an individual and an internal character to these two commands. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. But with the third command, the prophet actually shifts his focus to the external. He looks to the outward declaring of God's name for the good of the people around him. The third command is that we are to make known his deeds among the peoples. Mateer says that our secret relationship of thanksgiving and worship must venture out into the open. It's easy to give thanks and to call upon his name in the privacy of our home. It might even be easy to do so in the privacy of our church. But we're to venture out into the open. Now, the Hebrew word that's used there is the word lilatal. It was used actually in Psalm 9:11 that we read in our call to worship this evening. And there it refers to the Lord's general care for his people. But honestly, in every other place, no other exception, It is used to speak of the sovereign work of God in his election and his saving work of his people. The prophet is declaring to us that we are to make known God's work of salvation to the peoples, to all the peoples. Declare to the world that salvation is only available in the Lord. Our world is greatly misinformed. All roads do not lead to God. There, we declare that our salvation was fully accomplished. It's not a work that we participated in. It was fully accomplished in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That our salvation was perfectly and only applied by the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. The work, the accomplishment, the work of our salvation was completed as Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Make known that such a salvation is available to those who are presently perishing in their sin. My friends, if you know such a salvation, then the making known of that salvation must never go missing from your lips. Literally, what he says here is we need to bring it to our remembrance. Bring to the forefront of your mind the great work of Christ on your behalf and declare it. Declare Christ presently, declare Christ continually, declare Christ always, declare Christ to all the people. And in so doing, we come to the prophet's inspired fourth command. Proclaim that his name is exalted. We declare that the work, we not only declare that the saving work of our God, but we proclaim the glory of his name, the glory of his nature, the glory of his very being. Proclaim that his name is exalted. His name. Yahweh, I am who I am. His name, Emmanuel, God with us. His name, Jesus, Yeshua, meaning Yahweh saves. His character as a saving God, the God who has saved, the God who is saving even now, the God who will certainly continue to save until the return of his Son. Exalt him. To exalt means to lift up, to regard as a being higher rank. The word speaks to the majesty, to the transcendent dignity of our God. The Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord alone is to be exalted, not the performer or the athlete, not the pastor or the politician, not the wealthy or the poor. Only the Lord. Only the name of the Lord is to be exalted. And never let such exaltation go missing. Never let it go to another, but to the Lord and to the Lord alone. Isaiah, as I mentioned, his name means Yahweh is salvation. Isaiah is the perfect vessel to be used by the Lord to present his message to us tonight. For indeed, Yahweh alone is our salvation. He does so through Emmanuel, God with us. In him, Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh saves for our salvation, sovereignly planned before the foundation of the world, accomplished through the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, applied by the Holy Spirit in our born-again life, resurrection life in him. Our salvation is, again, a work of God only from beginning to end. For this salvation, we must be a people that give thanks in the present. We must give thanks in a continual sense. We give him thanks. Do not let the joy of your salvation slip into the void and go missing. Give thanks through making him known, proclaiming what he has done, proclaiming the glory of his name, of who he is. So on this Thanksgiving, and honestly on every day of our lives, may our thanks never be that missing person in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we have so much to give you thanks for. You are indeed the God of our salvation. You have completed that work in Christ. We are yours. And Lord, we rejoice in that. You are our Father, you are our God, you are our Redeemer. Lord, we thank you for the person and work of Christ who accomplished our salvation. We thank you for the work of your Spirit applying Christ and taking up residence within us, doing that work of sanctification within us. Lord, might that Spirit bring to our memory always the need of our giving thanks, of proclaiming your name, of declaring your glory before the nations. And Lord, we would give you the thanks and praise, and we would do so in Jesus' name. Amen.